Amen. In the book of John's Gospel in chapter 14, verse 1 through 6, for this morning, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself where I am. There you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This morning, we continue our second sermon in our series, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. People oftentimes ask all kinds of biblical questions. People want to know about this particular subject or about that particular issue. And oftentimes I'm asked various questions. One of those I mentioned in my Sunday school class this morning. Some people will say, well, I'm considering having my body cremated when I die. But then I have some Christian friends and they're telling me that cremation is wrong. What do you think? My response is often this, worms or fire, take your pick, the result is the same. The body is going to disintegrate. Cremation only accelerates the process. There are other questions people ask me. Will Christians be raptured before the Great Tribulation? Or will Christians be enforced to endure it? Other questions are the 6 days of creation actual 24-hour periods of time, or do they represent longer periods of time? Other questions like, when Paul restricts his restriction of women, does that deal with pastoral leadership positions today, or does it have anything to do with just the culture of Paul's day? Or maybe this question is asked, is the gift of tongues still in operation today? Another question people ask, is it okay for Christians to drink alcohol? Now, this morning, I'm not going to answer any of those specific questions, but if you think there's any unity among Christians on those hot button topics, I can assure you the next time that you're in a group of your friends, throw out one of the questions and see how diverse the answers are to some of those, and how very passionate and how vigorous people argue their point of view. Let me tell you, how is it that sincere Christians who are indwelled by the same Holy Spirit, who read the same Bible, come to some of the conclusions they come to? Well, we could probably say because of the limitations of human understanding, or it's the impact of our culture upon the situation, or maybe it's the influence of the particular faith tradition, or my personal experiences that have all shaped my interpretation of Scripture. We would probably give some of those as our answer to that. Rupert Mendelius in the 17th century, he was a theologian. He said, this should be our guide when we are confronted with such controversial topics. He said, when they are essential things, in essentials, there should be unity, but in non-essentials, there should be liberty, and in all things, charity. But you see, when you and I are confronted with this question that we discussed last Sunday morning, is personal faith in Jesus Christ, is it the only way a person can be saved from God's condemnation? In other words, is Jesus Christ the exclusive way that we can go to heaven? Is that the exclusivity of Jesus Christ? Is that the only way to get to heaven? Or are there other roads that lead there? Let me tell you, one of the most important things you and I need to understand this morning is this. The exclusivity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, for salvation, it's not a secondary issue. It is not a non-essential issue. It represents the core of the Christian message. It represents the core of our eternal destiny and the eternal destiny of our family and of our friends, and the eternal destiny of every single person on earth rests squarely on that foundational truth that Jesus Christ, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, and faith in Him that leads to heaven. Maybe you remember last Sunday morning I mentioned that a poll was taken of some 35,000 Americans, and they discovered in the poll that 57%, over half, of evangelical church attenders said they believe that many religions can lead to eternal life. No wonder many will say all religions are the same. So what does it matter what I truly believe? Well, you might think that it's only the atheists, the agnostics, the heretics, and the liberal theologians that reject the Bible, that personal faith in Christ is necessary for salvation. But you would be wrong. I mean, we all quote C.S. Lewis. Any of you know who I'm talking about, C.S. Lewis? He's quoted all the time. We all quote him, and he believed that heaven includes people that have never exercised faith in Christ. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "I think that every prayer which is sincerely made, even to a false God or to a very imperfectly conceived true God, is accepted by the true God, and that Christ saves many who do not think they know Him." Now, folks, if an apologist for the Christian faith, such as C.S. Lewis, believed there are other ways for a person to be saved apart from personal faith in Christ, then is it possible that historic Christianity has indeed been guilty of proclaiming an unnecessarily exclusive and intolerant message? Let me give you the answer this morning about who is going to be in heaven. So if you're taking notes on your outline there in your bulletin, it's very plain. Let me give you four terms that represent four different answers of who people think are going to be in heaven. Number one, universalism says that regardless of a person's belief or unbelief, that everyone is someday going to be in heaven for all eternity. The universalist just says, in other words, this group says that all people are going to be ultimately saved and that no one will experience God's punishment. Rob Bell, who was a former pastor, he popularized that concept a few years back in his highly controversial book called Love Wins. This is what Bell said. "Millions have been taught that if they don't believe, if they don't accept in the right way, according to the person telling them the gospel, and they were hit by a car and died later the same day, God would have no choice but to punish them forever in conscious torment and hell." He goes on to say, "A loving Heavenly Father who will go to extraordinary lengths to have a relationship with them would in the blink of an eye become a cruel, mean, and vicious tormentor who would ensure that they would have no escape from an endless future of agony." Bell says, "If there was an earthly father who was like that, we would call the authorities." He says, "That kind of God is simply devastating, psychologically crushing. We can't bear it. That God is terrifying and traumatizing and unbearable." But listen to this. Bell's logic is very flawed. In other words, he's saying, if I can't conceive of a God who would eternally punish unbelievers, then that kind of God must not exist. It led him to surmise that people that are relegated to hell, whatever that is, will only temporarily reside there, and then that they would be ultimately redeemed. Universalism. There are many out there that say everybody will eventually go to heaven. The second group of people who say they're going to be in heaven is pluralism. This restricts salvation just to religious people, regardless of what the religion is. This belief maintains that all religions are equally valid, picturing the variety of world religions as different paths up the same mountain that lead ultimately to the same God. So according to the World Christian Encyclopedia, this world is populated this morning by about 1 million Muslims, 650 million Hindus, over 300 million Buddhists, and over 200 million followers of Chinese folk religion, not to mention the 2.8 billion people who claim to be Christians. You see, these folks today that maybe you think just live across the pond somewhere in this world, not so. As our culture becomes more diverse and our neighborhoods are filled with people of all kind of religions, you can understand why there is so much debate out there in the marketplace. As Americans, we are seeing all the time the diversity of all of these various religions. Now, while universalism says everybody's going to heaven, regardless, pluralism says only religious people are, but it would exclude murderers and drug dealers and those kind of people. Well, whenever you accept pluralism, it allows for more tolerance. And it eliminates the necessity of judging someone else's religion as wrong. There's a third group, not only universalism, that says everybody's going to heaven. Pluralism says, well, only religious people are going to heaven regardless of whatever religion that is. There's a third group called inclusivism. Inclusivists say that the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross is the only means by which people can be saved, but it also says that a person can be saved by Christ without ever personally believing in Christ. To better understand, let me do it this way. Universalism says all people are going to heaven regardless of their beliefs or unbeliefs. Pluralism narrows salvation to just religious people, but it says that all religions are equally capable of offering salvation. Inclusivism says that no one can be saved apart from the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now that sounds good there, but They certainly wouldn't have any trouble agreeing with Peter in Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. But the inclusivists do not claim that everyone will be saved as the universalists do. The inclusivists, unlike the pluralists, do not maintain that Islam, Judaism, and Hinduism are equally valid religions. And so those that believe in inclusivism would shout a hearty amen to Jesus when he said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, inclusivism, young people, believes the circle of salvation is much wider than those who have personally trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They would say those that have never heard the gospel but believe in the limited revelation of God they have received will be in heaven. They believe you can receive the gift of salvation without ever knowing the identity of the sender of the gift. I want to give you a fourth group who says they're going to be in heaven, exclusivism. This view which what we believe. This view says salvation is limited to those who exercise faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 11:25-26. I am the resurrection, Jesus said, and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus said, do you believe this? Acts 16:31, Luke said, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in your household. Paul said to the Roman church, if you confess your sins with your mouth, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and the other New Testament writers repeatedly emphasize the importance of personally believing in order to be saved. So the question for you and me this morning, does it really make a difference whether personal faith in Christ is the only way by which a person can be saved? I want you to think with me this morning, young people. You're sitting at a table. You've stacked dominoes one in front of the other, a big row of them, and all the way around those dominoes. And you realize that if you give a nudge to that first domino, it's going to have a lasting effect upon the rest of those dominoes. They would collapse as you touched one and it fell on the second, and the second fell on the third and the fourth and so on, and all of that would collapse. I want to give you this morning, in closing, I want to give you six things that will collapse if you reject the doctrine of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as being the only way to salvation. First of all, you would be rejecting the nature of truth that's on your outline. You would reject the nature of truth. In other words, are there universal principles that transcend time and culture? Or is all truth just relative to the time and the culture and the moment that a person lives in? George Barna revealed some time ago, he said 68% of adults who claim to be born again Christians, 68%. If we went around in this room, 68% who claim to be born again Christians. And he said, young people, listen to this, 91% of Christian teenagers, 68% of adults who say they're born again, 91% of teenagers who say they are born again, 91% of teenagers, 68% of adults, they reject the concept of absolute truth. And instead, they embrace relativism as best explained by this phrase. In other words, everything is right sometime and nothing is right every time. Relativism says there is no absolute truth. This Bible is God's absolute truth for all time and eternity. Young people, the Bible says heaven and earth will someday pass away, but he said, my word will not pass away. The Bible is the absolute word of God. You and I are living in a time where if you do not believe in the exclusivity of Jesus being the only way to heaven, then you are rejecting the absolute truth of the scripture. A second thing that the domino effect would cause would be the Bible, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Did you realize there are lots of of unbelievers as well as believers, they reject the absolute authority of the inspiration of these scriptures by the Holy Spirit. You see, our ever-changing world is causing us to ask the same question, just as the serpent did to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent said, "Indeed, has God said?" You see, Satan didn't immediately attempt to contradict God. He didn't say, "Eve, God was wrong when he said, don't eat from this tree." All Satan had to do was to put a question in Eve's mind to get her to question, did God really say that we couldn't eat from that tree? You see, given the evidence for evolution, has God really said that he formed man out of the dust of the earth? Considering the number of people that are drawn to same-sex relationships in our day, has God really said that marriage is restricted to a man and a woman? Do you see how Satan turns this all around? Seeing the prevalence of world religions, has God really said that Christianity is the only way to heaven? You see, if we allow our culture to pressure us to concede this doctrine of the exclusivity of Christ, then we have diminished the trustworthiness and the authority of the Holy Scriptures. There's a third domino that will fall over if we reject the exclusivity of Jesus being the only way to heaven, and that domino would be the deity of Jesus Christ. The deity of Jesus Christ. This is the teaching that Christ's divinity stands or falls on the exclusivity of Christ for salvation. Notice Jesus' comment on this subject. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, would reject the idea that everyone is going to be saved. Universalism. Universalism says everybody will be saved. Jesus says no. They won't be. Look at Matthew 7, 14. Jesus said, "Because the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are how many who find it? Few." Jesus denied that all belief systems offer an equally valid way to God. That's pluralism. Jesus would reject pluralism. John 14, verse 6. "I am the way," Jesus said. "I am the truth," Jesus said. "And I am the life. No one," Jesus says, "comes to the Father, God, but through me." Jesus refused the view that personal faith isn't necessary to obtain eternal life. That would be the inclusivists out there in the world. They say, "Oh, Jesus, you know, Jesus died sacrificially for sins, but it's not necessary to believe in him." Jesus said no. Jesus said in John 6, 41, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day." You see, young people, if the universalist and the pluralist and the inclusivist are right, if they are right, then Jesus was wrong when he declared that personal faith in him is the only road that leads to heaven. Now, if Jesus was wrong, then he was either mistaken or he was intentionally misleading. Now, if Jesus was mistaken, then he was not the all-knowing, therefore he was not God. If Jesus was mistaken, intentionally misleading, then he was not holy, and therefore he was not God. Either way, the doctrine of Christ's deity rests upon this issue of exclusivity. Jesus Christ is divine. He was both human yet without sin. He was the divine. He was God himself wrapped in human flesh when he came to this world. A fourth thing that would fall apart if you reject the exclusivity of Jesus being the only way to heaven would be the necessity of the atonement. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed before his arrest and before his trials and before his execution. And let me tell you, when you see the picture of Jesus praying up there in the garden, even right there in the baptistry with that stained glass window, let me tell you, we get a different picture of what we think that really looked like. But folks, I want you to know, in reality, Jesus was incredibly distressed. Jesus was troubled. Jesus was perplexed. Mark gives us more examples of how that scene fell that night. In Mark chapter 14, 33, Jesus cried out to God to deliver him from this horrible experience that was awaiting him. Let me tell you what terrified Jesus more than this physical agony of the cross was the spiritual consequence that he was paying for the sins of all humanity. Jesus knew that on the cross he would experience the full fury of God's wrath rather than God's delight in the Son in whom he was well pleased. Jesus had never experienced anything but complete harmony with God the Father. But that was going to change in these next moments at the cross. Jesus would experience a painful estrangement from his Father, forbearing the sins of the world, an experience that would later cause him to cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Jesus prayed in the garden. He prayed for God to spare him from the cross and to find some other way to accomplish forgiveness and restoration for humanity. But God responded to his Son Jesus with thundering silence. God offered no other way because there was no other way for human redemption but through the cross. The universalist, if the universalist were correct, that no one's going to be judged, then why the crucifixion? If the pluralists are right, that every religion offers an equally valid pathway to God, then Christ's death on the cross was totally unnecessary. If either of those viewpoints were true, then God sent his Son to die on the cross. It was not only cruel, but it was useless. But Scripture assures us that the crucifixion, that Jesus permanently altered the eternal destiny for all who place their faith and trust in him and in him alone. John, he witnessed the crucifixion. He said in 1 John 2:2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, it means an appeasement or a satisfaction. Most of the religions or the religions of this world, they all share a common denominator. It's this. It is man, all these other religions say, that's responsible for appeasing God or the gods. And they do it through their rituals and their self-improvement or keeping the rules. But the message of Christianity, this says that Jesus and he alone offered the sacrifice, the atonement, the covering of our sins. Let me tell you, there's a fifth domino that would fall apart in this doctrine that we believe on the exclusivity of Jesus Christ if we reject it, and that is, number five, the reality of hell. Let me tell you, if the universalists are correct that every person goes to heaven, then the only occupants that would be in hell would be Satan and his fallen angels. If the pluralists were correct that all religions offer a valid way to heaven, then hell would be populated only with the atheists and Satan and his angels. If the inclusivists are correct that Christ's death covered the sins of those that have never heard or believed in Jesus, then the number in hell would be relatively minuscule compared to the number of people in heaven. But the problem with all of that is Jesus contradicted it all. Look at Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, enter through what kind of gate? The narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Let me tell you, the last thing that would fall apart if we concede and reject the exclusivity of Christ, it would be evangelism and missions. Jesus gave his final marching orders to go into the world and to make disciples, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, if Jesus is not the only way to heaven, then why go to the trouble of sending missionaries throughout the world? Why would we give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? Why would we be out there in the highways and the hedges? Why would we go to our neighbor next door or somebody out there on the street? Let me tell you. Why offend somebody about their different religion and risk being perceived as arrogant? You see, if all roads lead to heaven, according to the pluralist, that any religious group, why travel overseas and share the gospel? Do you understand, church, this morning, what we're speaking about, standing up for the faith, being an apologetic for the Christian faith, that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus said, I am truth. The Bible tells us that Jesus is truth. He is the way. He's the only way to life everlasting. And if we reject the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, then all of those six things, the truth of the Bible, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the deity of Christ, the necessity of the blood atonement sacrifice, the reality of hell and evangelism and missions, it would all fall apart. Does it make a difference what I believe that the Bible says about how I get to heaven? Young people, you're going out into a world where everything becomes relative to your culture. You see, what you're going to find when you go off to college and to universities, what you're going to find is that you will find all of these liberals that are teaching something totally different than what God's Word teaches. You better know what you believe. And let me tell you, Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And if we reject that, then we've rejected the truth of the Bible and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the necessity of Jesus going to the cross and the blood atonement. The reality of hell and evangelism and missions, does it make a difference what I believe? And with a resounding yes, 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 it makes a difference. And Jesus gave us the simple answer. Do all roads lead to heaven? Do all religions take us to heaven? And Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, Thomas, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Does it make a difference? A resounding yes. It makes all the difference in the world and my eternal destiny. Would you stand as we pray together?